It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. As a public radio listener, you may be familiar with this voice.
So I started saying, like, what is my calling here? How is that changing? How can I best be of service in this world that is unfolding?
Krista Tippett is the creator and host of the podcast On Being. She's known for asking big, often metaphysical questions of scientists, philosophers, and thinkers. For over 20 years, she's brought her special brand of warmth and inquiry to listeners, giving them permission to think beyond the everyday and more about meaning and what we're all doing here on planet Earth.
The questions that are still going to be with us, you know, long after the news cycle moves on.
But a few years ago, Krista had a big birthday, and it left her asking tough questions of herself. As an empty nester, an older woman, she wondered if her life's work needed to change. Should she take herself in a new direction?
What is my work going to be to do? And I was in my 60s, right? I turned 60 in 2020. And my children were suddenly well and truly launched. So other questions that I started to ask were, well, in this way I'm working now, you know, because some of the things that came to me that might be my service didn't feel possible with the way I was living and working and the way my life was structured.
Krista was filled with so much uncertainty at a time in her life when she expected to have a clear path forward, but didn't. So at that moment, she turned to her favorite poet to remind herself that uncertainty is part of life's process. Rainer Maria Rilke's words had gotten her through other life crises.
You know, when I was in my 20s and living in Germany, and Rilke, his Letters to a Young Poet is a book that, you know, in the early 20th century, which I think a lot about now, you know, how Rilke was writing in the last young century, which, like ours, was moving towards lots of rupture, mm-hmm. towards transformation. And he received some letters from this young military cadet. And his longing was, like, who will I be, right? He was impatient with not knowing, with all the uncertainty and these longings that just come with being young. Rilke said, try to be patient with all that is unresolved in your heart. Dwell with what is unresolved. Don't treat it as something that you have to rush to an answer for. Because if those questions are big and important enough, what you want is to be able to live the answers that they would give you. And the fact that you're so full of longing and yearning and confusion about them probably means that you need to live these questions to know what it would mean to live your way into the answers. And he said, treat your questions like locked rooms or books that are written in a very foreign language. Really, the wisdom in this is that when to rush to an answer would be to deny the gravity of the question, we just have to sit with the question and figure out what the question would teach us and where the question would lead us.
Like us, Rilke was a citizen of a young century with spectacular potentials for creating and destroying.
Here's Krista Tippett on the TED stage.
And it's come to seem to me that the great challenges before our young century are vast, aching, open questions. Ecological, racial, economic, spiritual, political. Vast, aching, open questions for which we will not have anything like answers anytime soon. So I find myself returned anew to this wisdom that when we find ourselves in this situation, we are called to honor and dwell with the questions themselves. And it is a deep, deep truth in science, as in life, that at any given moment, we are being shaped as much by the questions we're carrying as by the answers we have it in us to give. Those moments when a new question rises up in us, stops us in our tracks, those are pivot points. Those are moments when the possibility of discovery breaks in. So the invitation here is to engage the adventure of a new reverence for the questions that are alive in you, the questions that are alive in the world around you.
You know, it was right after the pandemic that you gave this talk, but I think the key offering that you gave, which was practices for how to live well, you asked us to live the question. That was the one that stuck with me, because I think people get exhausted by all the questions they have, and very often, sometimes, they just want rules.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think we get exhausted by all the questions because we treat questions like things that demand immediate answers. And one thing about this living the question sensibility is it has a long view of time. This is not the fake real time of like the internet that we live in, mm-hmm. right? Like it is dwelling. It is not treating time like some kind of bully that tells me I must have an answer. I must have an action plan. It's not how time works. It's letting things emerge, and what we're learning about how vitality functions in the natural world is this all emergence, you know? We've really wanted to believe that our strategic plans we can live by, but, you know, not grasping for the first thing that feels like an answer, but moving with curiosity towards it and testing it, and not feeling like it's a failure if it turns out that what that was meant was to be an investigation, but it's not the answer.
Between politics, economic ups and downs, and accelerating technology, it has been a long, complicated year. Many of us are looking for something, anything, to help us just feel a little bit calmer. And so on the show today, ideas to help you get grounded, back on track, and maybe even edge towards something like bliss. There is no cure-all, but together, they might help you tinker with your own life and end the year with a bit more peace of mind. Which is what Krista Tippett found when she surrendered, yet again, to living the question. And she began asking whether the nonprofit she'd been running for nearly two decades was sustainable as she entered her 60s, and what might come her way if she let go of the old.
There was just too much that I was carrying in the old structure. And so a set of questions that became really important to me that I also think can be useful for any of us, and maybe really foundational if we're thinking about making a move, is what in the way I'm living now and working now depletes me, and what is life-giving? And, you know, I think that can sound kind of privileged because, like, at any given time, any job has depleting aspects.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
And parenting has depleting aspects. And, you know, so it's not that I'm looking for a life without struggle. But are the things I'm struggling with now the right things for me to be struggling with now? So, you know, over a period of like a year and a half, kind of to my surprise, because one of the things I thought is that maybe everything I'm doing needs to get bigger. There needs to be more of it. But that's where the question of depletion came in and what would be life-giving.
Krista ended up winding down her organization, doing fewer podcast episodes, and began writing another book, when suddenly some of the questions she had didn't matter very much because she unexpectedly fell in love.
I did. I fell in love at 64, and it's the greatest thing ever.
Is it different than when you were younger?
Oh, yeah. It's almost like being a teenager again. You know, what it makes me think of is you have all these big life question marks when you're in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s. And say you fall in love, you're in relationship with someone and they probably have all those same question marks. Do you have children? All of these things add so much complexity on top of the complexity of loving. And this matter of loving and being loved is something that we can work on in ourselves across a lifetime. And I want to say that I did decide to work on that at some point. In fact, but I was single for many years, and the decision I made was to really give myself over to all the kinds of love. Mm. Take them as seriously as we take this longing for, the one. And I'm not perfect at this. It's not something anybody gets perfect at, but I do feel like it's something I worked on. And I've met a man who also has taken seriously the matter of loving and being loved. And then to find that when you don't have any of these big life decisions ahead of you, right? Mm. When there's not a question of whether even you can get pregnant, which is such a great liberation. But also that I can potentially, we have 20 or 30 years left together, and who knows? And when you're 25, you also do not have a guarantee that you will live another day, right?
Yeah.
At any age, we are mortal and we are fragile and all kinds of things can happen, but you just don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine because it helps us just stay so audacious.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're 65, you know it, right? So I'm in this new stage of my life professionally, but also in this love. And we know that we will both die and that one of us may die first. And that also that our loving each other, will probably entail caregiving.
Mm, wow.
And to make a commitment to that is such a different quality of commitment than anything I've ever done in my life. And it's really beautiful. And it's not sad. Mm. This is the matter of loving and being loved, and I'm ready for it to mean that.
When we come back, more with Krista Tippett and a suggestion for how you might want to approach the new year. On the show, searching for and maybe finding your bliss. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and we'll be right back. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, searching for and finding your bliss. We were talking to Krista Tippett, host and creator of the show On Being. So with all the wisdom that you have gathered over the years, what advice do you have for people, especially as the year comes to a close and they look forward?
I think whoever we are on every side of all of our divisions, we're feeling like we live in a world where there's so much uncertainty. And because I believe in the power of questions to just orient us and help us walk forward in ways that speak to the world we want to live in and want to make. I think a question right now is, from where I sit in the world I can see and touch, what amidst all that is breaking wants to be born that I can attend to? And really let that question be a companion.
All right. So for somebody who's like, wait a minute, I thought I was just going to make a resolution to go to the gym more often. Can you give them an example?
Right. Don't make a resolution.
I love it.
This is a radical alternative to the New Year's resolution. Ask a New Year's question.
Ask a New Year's question. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you will find the answer.
And it's not your question for 2 weeks. It's your question until next year. It's your question until January 1st, 2027. And then you can take stock.
Right.
I'm not saying that it doesn't lead you to do things along the way, but you hold it, you hold it, you hold it. You let it ripen.
And if you don't find the answer, that doesn't mean you failed.
No. I mean, I think saying that what you're looking for is an answer is too narrow. Because if we're looking for an answer, we may be disappointed.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we looking for? We're looking for what emerges in us, what we start to see. Because if we're looking for things, we're going to see things we didn't see.
Okay. So can I posit mine?
Yes.
Okay. So I think mine is going to be for 2026. How do I stay more open to people and ideas that just come my way. Instead of trying to grab them, I'm just going to let them come to me. Yeah.
So here's how the question then becomes a really good friend, because what that means, the good question, so what that means is when you have your reactions, which you will have, you will ask, okay, how do I stay open here? And that means you're going to have to develop some skill sets and some new reflexes. And you may also in this process learn that you need to turn to other people to help you with this, right? So you will learn new things you don't know right now that you want to learn. You know, there's a lot of richness to it.
Here's what I love. I can't be wrong. I'm definitely going to achieve it.
Right. You can't fail at the implementation.
Exactly. Right. So that's what the goal is here. 2026. Yeah. Don't have a goal. The goal is ask a question and then be in it.
That's right.
Love that. Thank you.
And also, you may find as you move forward that the question itself needs revising. Like this question wasn't particular enough, right? Or like, I want to give this question some nuance, or I've learned some things, so I really know I can give the question some focus. So the question is alive too.
That was Krista Tippett, the host and creator of On Being. You can watch her full TED Talk at TED.com.